I'm Artie Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Philadelphia City Controller Rebecca Reinhart just released a report about the performance of the city's sanitation department. It found that citywide on-time trash collection dropped precipitously during the pandemic from an 80% on-time pickup rate to 53% in fiscal year 2021. Now, that should not surprise anyone, but the report also revealed disparities in collection rates, with Center City, Northern Liberties, and Fishtown having the best rates and a number of districts having rates well below 50%. Even further, sanitation workers had to pick up a lot more trash during the pandemic, something like 20% more tonnage. Coming up, I'll talk with Rebecca Reinhart about the report and with Terrell Hagler, also known as Yafave Trash Man. He was a sanitation worker, now turned activist. Joining us and getting our conversation started is Scott McGrath, Environmental Planning Director for the City of Philadelphia Streets Department. Scott McGrath, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, we're happy to have you with us as well. I do want to pick through different parts of this controller's report. First of all, looking at this on-time collection rate, the idea that trash should be picked up by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. How important is that as a city service?
That's been our standard in terms of measuring our collection performance for quite some time. And that's sort of the yardstick we use to keep track of how we're doing. And as the report said, you know, we've had some struggles through the pandemic. The tonnage has been a really big issue. The 25-30% of extra tonnage we get, that's an extra day's work, essentially, for the division. And then you have fewer personnel available because of the pandemic. That makes meeting that standard even more difficult and everything.
Yeah.
We've also started out even before the pandemic with some attendance issues just to start with.
Well, let me begin. Yeah, I hear you, and I want to get to all of that. In fact, looking at the report, the rate really of the on-time collection rate began to decline in 2017. So this was a couple of years before the pandemic. What explains that, do you think?
Those were primarily attendance issues and staffing issues, you know, essentially getting enough people in to do the work.
And why staffing? Why wouldn't people want to do this work?
It's just the general process of both hiring people and sick leave issues and other problems such as that. We have actually been working closely more recently with both the administration and our unions in developing a better process for both tracking those issues and making sure that we get all of our workers in and working in a timely manner.
Is that because it's a difficult job?
That's part of it, yes. It is a difficult job.
I want to talk to you about the tonnage, and then I do want to talk about some of the disparities in this pickup rate. The tonnage increased, what, at least 20%, maybe 25 to 30% in some districts. Is that because people were home largely during the pandemic, or a lot of people were home?
Yes. Everybody was home. Actually, the private sector, private haulers, they found a corresponding decrease in what they were collecting commercially.
From offices, so, right?
Yes, from offices and businesses, yes. So the tonnage they were collecting ended up being ours to collect.
Let me ask you for your reaction. As I said in my introduction, I think a lot of people would understand and maybe not even be surprised about how the pandemic affected trash pickup. But what seems to be surprising is that certain districts, and we're talking Center City, Fishtown, and Northern Liberties, having a better or even the best on-time trash pickup rates compared to other districts. What explains that?
The Center City, that's largely because we have to, for safety reasons and to get our trucks out of the way in terms of both traffic safety and pedestrian safety, it's been our policy or process to get those trucks in and out of Center City as quickly as possible. So we're not in the way of businesses, deliveries, and people walking around and everything. So it's a it's primarily a safety issue on both the traffic side and from terms of pedestrian safety.
What about Fishtown and Northern Liberties? That's not Center City.
That area is there's not a a simple explanation. Part of that is just availability of personnel in that district and in the trucks. That matching people in trucks is part of this process and everything. So in that case, that process worked a little bit better there. They also have a closer access to transfer stations from that location, which makes it easier to get the trucks back out on the street after they dump their first load.
Is it any coincidence that these are parts of Philadelphia that are more well off, largely white? Does that help to explain it?
No, that's not why we're collecting them earlier or in a better performance level.
Why not?
Like I said, the center city is a safety issue and everything.
What about, though, parts of the city where the on-time pickup rate is well below 50%? What explains that?
Well, during the pandemic, you have to match both trucks and people. And that in some areas, that can be a complicated process. For example, South Philadelphia, where you have a lot of small streets. So you have to match crews with small trucks. And although our vehicle situation is much better than it has been since fiscal year 14, we still have issues with having enough small trucks and everything. So that sometimes will throw collections in some of the areas, such as South Philadelphia, a little further behind, just because you don't have enough small trucks to take care of all the small streets and everything. Another thing that happens is if you don't have the right types of right types of trucks and people on a given day, sometimes you have to move trucks from other districts that have equipment available to that district.
But this is Philadelphia. These, you know, it's had its small streets for centuries now. Why hasn't the sanitation department been able to address what is obviously a permanent issue? If you've got narrow streets, you need smaller trucks.
Unfortunately, the number of companies that actually manufacture those types of trucks is very, very limited. So it takes a long time for our fleet management people to purchase those types of trucks and make them available.
Is there money to buy them if they were available in the department?
Yes. We've been working closely with our capital program office, finance and budget on having a stable fund of resources to purchase trucks. And it's just, unfortunately, that's a truck type that's very difficult to acquire. And it's not just for the city of Philadelphia. I've spoken with San Antonio, for example. They have parts of their city that have similar challenges and everything, and wondering how do we buy small trucks and everything. So it's a issue that other cities are also experiencing.
What about the idea, though, of you know, a standardized trash can or a communal bins or even semi-automated trash trucks to be able to, you know, pick up garbage in an easier kind of way?
We have experimented with using 32-gallon containers and everything. We've found that not not everybody actually likes them. And
why not?
I think for a variety of reasons. In some parts of the city, for example, where you have a really dense housing, that's something you have to keep. They don't want to keep a container like that outside in front of their house, even if we permit that. So they don't want to carry a large container through their house, for example. I live in South Philadelphia. You couldn't take a 32-gallon from the back to the front, everything.
We only have a couple more minutes before we have to say goodbye to you. But looking at this report, what do you think the message is, and what can the city do to address this on-time collection problem?
Well, we're doing a number of things. We're actually working on we've implemented a second shift operation to get loads that are left in the early evening. We're also utilizing GPS technology to track and evaluate how the trucks are performing their work on a daily basis. We're also working on a process where we hire temporary laborers and transition them into a permanent status with the workforce. That's a much quicker process. We've been working with our human resources people closely to get personnel in the door, so to speak, so that we can hire them as quickly as possible. That's been a very cumbersome process, and that's something that's been greatly streamlined over the last 6 to 8 months, working with our HR people.
Let me ask you something. Yeah, this report goes back to 2009, and apparently at that time, the on-time pickup rate was 94%. Is that something that's doable in whatever year we're in now, in 2021, 2022, and looking ahead?
I don't know when we'll get back to that, but getting back to that level of collection is something that's doable. I think especially as we get these other things in place. I would also add another thing we're doing is we're building our transfer station in the northwest part of the city, which is over 35 years old. And the down rate there is very high, which is one of the reasons why we experience collection issues in that part of the city. We're building a new facility there in the very over the next year or two. So that will also improve on-time performance in that area. We'll also be able to process more material there, which will also help other areas in North Philadelphia, for example.
Well, Scott McGrath, we have to leave it there. We're out of time. I appreciate you joining us on Radio Times, getting our conversation started.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Scott McGrath, Environmental Planning Director for the City of Philadelphia's Streets Department. And we've got Rebecca Reinhart and Terrell Hagler waiting in the wings. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. A new city controller report that we were just talking about shows that while trash piling up in Philadelphia looks like a widespread problem, your neighborhood could determine just how late garbage collection will be. City controller Rebecca Reinhart, who looked at this data from 2009 through the first half of 2021, joins us to discuss how sanitation performance has declined in the last several years and was dramatically impacted by COVID-19. And Rebecca Reinhart, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's great to be here.
And also with us is Terrell Hagler, also known as your fave trash man, a former sanitation worker turned activist. And he joins us to talk about what the city should do to clean up its cleanup policies and prevent rampant illegal dumping. And also to talk about what it's like to be a sanitation worker here in Philadelphia. And Terrell Hagler, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, and we've already got lots of comments here, You can email us at radiotimes@whyy.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can always call us 1-888-477-9499. Talking about Philadelphia and trash. Rebecca Weiner, let me begin with you. And I talked a little bit with Scott McGrath about certain pieces of this report, beginning with this on-time collection rate. Why was that so important?
Well, people across Philadelphia have been complaining about on-time trash pickup, and rightfully so. Trash pickup is a core governmental service. It's one of the basic things, along with public safety and education, I think, that people expect from their government. So what I wanted to do was utilize my office and our commitment to data and transparency to show what exactly did the pandemic do to trash collection, and then let's take it back and let's look at it back historically.
And there should be no surprise that during the pandemic, certainly the heart of the pandemic, when things were really shut down, that there was a trash problem.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the data showed what people felt and experienced, that the drop in on-time collection from about 83% to 53% on time, that was expected. I think there were some other findings that were unexpected and concerning when we looked at the data.
And I do want to get to you, Terrell, in just a moment. But back to you, Rebecca. Does that mean the trash wasn't picked up at all, but instead of being picked up by 3, it was picked up at 7, or it was picked up by 4 o'clock? Or maybe I can ask Terrell, but let me start with you.
No. The measurement is picked up by 3 p.m. When it doesn't get – that's the measurement, so it's hard to say, and it's a good question. There are additional metrics on trash being picked up, you know, within the next day. But what I wanted to look at was the basic on-time measurement. But usually it would be picked up the next day or sometimes held a week. So that's that's the situation. But historically back in 2010, 11, 12, we had about 95% on time. And that's really what we should aspire to.
Absolutely. I want to get to that. Let me get to you, Terrell, because you were a sanitation worker for about 2 years from 2019.
14 months.
Okay. 2019 to the beginning of this year, 2021.
Yes.
That was really during the heart of the pandemic. So you were a sanitation worker when?
In the thick of it.
In the absolute thick of it. What was a day like for you?
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes chaos, just, you know, not knowing where you're going that day, or if you did know where you were going that day, there's nothing to a sanitation worker than getting to the top of the block and you can't see the houses on the block because all you see is black bags and couches and mattresses and sometimes your occasional water heater that's out.
And it's your job to toss it in the trash.
Well, not
right?
The water heater, but everything else we are you know, contracted to take. But when you add 30% to every house, so on an average, if one house has 5 bags, now every house has 12, you know? And that weighs on your body, that weighs on your mental, that weighs on your emotional, because then you turn the corner and it's the same exact thing on the next block.
I mean, as you say, I mean, mentally and physically, it is exhausting, or certainly was exhausting for you to be able to to work this particular job.
And on average, because of the type of trucks we are, and Philadelphia is one of the only big cities left that are throwing trash manually, we walk about 12 miles a day as a sanitation worker. So you accompany that with picking up 75-pound bags for 8 hours. I mean, you know, Superman would get tired.
Well, I want to let that sink in. Yes, absolutely. Well, Scott McGrath talked about the fact that we've got these tiny streets in Philadelphia, and you know, that really makes picking up trash harder. Do you, as someone that did this work, you agree?
Yeah, I've went down a couple of South Philly blocks, and it does make it harder. But what makes it harder to me is that if there was a standardized can that we had wheels, that I could just wheel it from in front of the house in between the cars and attach it to the truck, use a lever to dump the truck like they do in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And if you say semi-automatic because it doesn't have the arm, but it has what they call the tippers. That means the whole block would have a standardized can and it would have a hook and wheels. Now I'm not picking bags up. I'm literally just wheeling it. But when you take 75-pound bags on a small South Philly street and you're dragging 12 of them in between two cars that are 6 inches apart, mm-hmm. or you're throwing them over the hoods of the car to your partner in the street and then your partner's throwing it, that repetitive motion, again, but this time I'll use the Hawk. The Hawk would be tired.
Well, Scott McGrath talked about, you know, labor shortages. I mean, the fact that people either didn't show up or they couldn't fill the jobs. Is that because the work is so hard and maybe dangerous?
I disagree with Scott on that point. My truth and what I realized is that during the pandemic, almost 300 sanitation workers caught COVID. So that's why it dropped so low. But also, 3 months before the pandemic hit, the injury rate was still, you know, low. My friend Ryan Briggs.
Was low or high?
It was higher than what it was during the pandemic, but it was still, as if it was a standard set, it would be low. And Ryan Briggs did an amazing article.
HYY. Yep.
Yeah, with WHYY, and we saw that the percentage of the attendance rate, the weekly attendance rate for sanitation workers compared to, say, Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas has like a 90% attendance rate, which means 90% of the fleet comes. Here in Philadelphia, we're toying around 59-62%, mm-hmm. which means almost 40% of the fleet doesn't come to work every week because of injury, because of the workload.
Rebecca, let me go back to you. And one of the things that you looked at was these disparities between the various districts in terms of pickup, the idea that Center City, Kensington, and Fishtown had better on-time pickups. Mm-hmm. I asked Scott McGrath to explain why he thought that was. I'm curious if you know why.
So I think this is an issue that needs a lot more attention than it's getting. And the data release that my office did is the first step in that. So even if you look pre-pandemic, the areas that had the best on-time collection rate from 2017 to 2020 before the pandemic were Center City and parts of the Northeast. And the worst collection rates, about 65-75% on time, were parts of South Philly, West, and Northwest.
Hmm.
So while there can be anecdotal explanations for why, the truth of the data is that there is inequity and unfairness with service delivery. That is a fact. You can explain it in various ways by saying this factor or that factor. But what should be happening is the mayor's administration, senior leadership should be looking at this data and say, okay, West Philadelphia is between 65-75%. How do we get it to 90-95%? And the reason in that Center City is always on time, I get that it's the business, you know, the center business area, but that doesn't mean that everyone else doesn't deserve their trash picked up. So I think we need to turn the conversation and say, sure, that what Scott was saying explains why Center City needs to be picked up, sure, but it shouldn't be at the expense of any of the neighborhoods. And so we have to figure out a plan to get that, to get to write this.
To get the neighborhoods up to Center City and Fishtown.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? And demographically, you can sort of see some differences. I'm not sure how much emphasis to put on that. But what are your thoughts?
I completely agree with Rebecca at this point. Like, I say all the time, everyone in this city deserves to live in a clean city. And that's the end of the sentence. Not if you live in Center City and Northeast, you know. So and you brought it up, that if you look at it demographically, and if you even compare it to what we call the hot zone in Philly right now, the 14 zip codes with the highest gun violence, you will find that those percentages are the lowest. Mm-hmm. So if you overlap Rebecca's data to the litter index to the crime, they almost match each other. And that's not a coincidence. And in 2018, the study came out. You clean a space in a neighborhood, a vacant lot, you create a green space, you reduce crime by 29% almost. So, you know, it makes sense to what Rebecca is saying, is turning the conversation on not why we have to pick up Center City on time, and into how do we pick up the entire city on time.
I hear you. Let me just quickly reintroduce you. That's Terrell Hagler, also known as your fave trash man. He's a former sanitation worker for the city of Philadelphia turned community organizer. In fact, he was Billy Penn's 2021 Most Valuable Philadelphian. And also with us is Rebecca Reinhart. She's Philadelphia City Controller. Just came out with a report looking at trash pickup, focusing during the pandemic, but also looking back to 2009 and finding that on-time delivery has really slipped. It slipped pretty precipitously during the pandemic, but has seen a decline over the last decade or so. Let me read a couple of comments here. One from Kurt. My cousin owns a pizza shop in South Philly. Hardly a week goes by that he does not find that someone has dumped construction debris, bagged household trash or furniture into the dumpster out back behind his business. What can the city do about illegal dumping and enforcement? And in fact, Terrell, let me toss this back to you, because I know this is one of you issues near and dear to your heart.
This is a nerve. This is a nerve.
It is a nerve. So what do we do about that?
So I'm actually trying to get a group together. I haven't called Rebecca yet, but she might as well hear it first here now. That there is a law when you do construction that you list your hauler on your permit. But that's where it stopped. There is no follow through or accountability saying that the hauler must produce a weight slip from a dump, or the hauler must produce a receipt saying where they dumped at. So a contractor will get a permit to do contract work and say, oh, ABC Hauling is doing my hauling. And then ABC Hauling can go dump in Fairmount Park. And then ABC Hauling goes back to the contractor and says, can I have my money? And that's where my issue is. We're not holding haulers accountable through our government, through city processes, through permitting, saying, hey, you have been listed as the hauler. Now show proof where you're dumping that. And then we then can turn the conversation in saying that there's not a lot of places to dump construction. I think in the city of Philadelphia, there's only two.
Wow.
So now we need to give more resources. And it's $110 to a ton to dump. So there's like work on both sides. I think if residents and government came together, we could figure out some more solution. And like Scott was saying, they're building new, you know, facilities. Let's build some facilities where your mom and pop, your everyday hauler who just has a pickup truck, can do his job and then maybe get a permit to haul and then dump for $50 a ton or something like that. But that's just my crazy idea.
Well, I'm not sure how crazy it is, but let me go back to you, Rebecca Reinhart. And if you're talking about the problem of trash in Philadelphia, and it's been longstanding, predating this administration. I mean, there's the filthy Delphia, you know, word that I think people are familiar with. That when you have a problem with trash, does that invite illegal dumping?
So the short answer is yes, it does. And there are a few different things here. That first, if you look back historically, the city was much better at trash pickup and could be again. But we are one of the only cities without citywide street cleaning, street sweeping. And there does need to be much more city initiative, mayoral initiative, on making Philadelphia cleaner. That this often gets sort of put back on the residents somehow. And that doesn't, that's not right to me, because the city needs to keep the streets clean. That involves cleaning, you know, picking up trash on time, cleaning streets, and then enforcement on the dumping, what's called short dumping or illegal dumping. Because that's a problem all over the city. And the streets department is often cleaning up sites, and then the next week someone else dumps there. And so we have to get to the crux of the issue, which is there needs to be some consequence for those that are dumping. And then that's a problem that needs to be solved.
Can you weigh in, Terrell, on the issue of street sweeping? It was tried. There were leaf blowers. There were problems. I think there's a pilot program that's being tried in some parts of the city. But what's preventing that, do you think?
I think what's preventing it, if I'm going to be very transparent, is the unwillingness of the streets commissioner to be innovative. I worked with a good friend of mine's Morgan Berman, and we proposed an app that will pay people to initially be that street sweeping vehicle for the city of Philadelphia. And Carlton Williams was just against it, didn't want to try it, didn't want to see it, wants to see how it works first. So we have to go a different route, and we're doing it. We have 25 blocks being cleaned every week. We've reduced litter and trash in about four or five different neighborhoods. But just if I was him and this idea came to me, and it's like, for sure, let's go with it. Let's try everything. Let's not take anything off the table. Let's try every single option on the table. So to me, glitter would, it clicked to me as a former sanitation worker, paying people a living wage to clean the streets of Philadelphia. That makes sense.
And to you, Rebecca Reiner, what has been your report came out last week. What has been the response from the city so far?
There hasn't been much response from the mayor's office, from the mayor or the administration. And I think that this is an issue. And to me, that's, you know, disappointing, but not surprising, given just the lack of engagement, I think, from the mayor's administration on some key issues. So, and the mayor. So, I mean, I would put it above the streets commissioner. To Terrell's point about the streets commissioner, I would actually say that the urgency to fix some of these issues needs to come from the mayor and the mayor's administration and senior leadership, even above the streets commissioner. And I know it's a pandemic. Of course, we have lived through a pandemic, but that's also when true leadership emerges to handle that. I do think that we need to be disruptive. We need to be innovative. We need to roll up our sleeves and say, how do we do this? How do we change these things and truly make this work?
Well, there is nothing more basic and maybe not, I won't say more important, but certainly more basic than picking up trash.
Yes.
Let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation. That's Rebecca Reiner. She's Philadelphia City Controller. Her office just came out with a report looking at trash pickup here in the city of Philadelphia. Terrell Hagler with us as well, also known as your fave trash man, former sanitation worker, turned community organizer here in Philadelphia. We've got a lot of people that want to join our conversation. Email us at radiotimes@whyy.org and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Call us 1-888-477-9499. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen, talking with our guests about trash and a new report showing that where you live in Philadelphia determines how often your garbage is picked up or how late or early the pickup is. And again, talking with City Controller Rebecca Reinhart and Terrell Hagler, also known as your fave trash man. Let me just read some more comments here. One from Debbie. I live in West Philly. As a rule, we don't have small streets. So why has our on-time collection been so poor? We don't have Scott McGrath here, but I'll toss that to you. Terrell Hagler, your thoughts?
I think to go back to Rebecca's data is that certain neighborhoods just systematically has been normalized to, you don't have to worry about it as a priority. So while we have the priorities of, like she said, Center City and Kensington, if it's kind of the energy of it is we'll get to it when we get to it from higher ups. Now, that's not sanitation workers, because we just get our assignment and we get on the truck and we try to fill the truck up. But higher ups manage the routes. Higher ups make the decision on what blocks get picked up first. So that is a question for the higher ups.
Well, we were talking about this during the break and raised earlier in the hour. But, you know, again, looking at whose trash is picked up on time and whose isn't. And as you said, Center City, Northeast Philly, things changed a little bit during the pandemic. But, you know, it's hard not to see the demographic difference here.
Right, right. And I think we do need to address that head on, that the neighborhoods that the data is showing that even before the pandemic, had historically good on-time collection rates were predominantly white neighborhoods. And then areas that, like West Philadelphia, that had rates in 65% to 75% are predominantly African American, right? And we need to address this. There is systemic racism in all of our institutions that needs to be dismantled. We need to look at things and say, you know, why isn't this prioritized? And how do we get to 95% on time for every person living in our city? Every person is just as valuable as every other person and deserves that level of service. Anecdotally, I was told by the streets department that the reason South Philly is often low is because they pull from South Philly to make sure Center City's on time.
Right. I saw that.
And so that's not right either, you know. And I think that whenever we see data that shows these trends of certain neighborhoods not getting the same level of service delivery, we have to say, okay, what is our plan to fix it? How do we disrupt the status quo and make this right?
Let me read a couple more comments. A tweet from Alexis. Why can't public officials admit they've done a poor job, apologize, and try to do better? I moved to Cobbs Creek from Northern Liberties in 2017, and the disparity in trash pickup was shocking. All the excuses offered are spin, solve the problem, don't explain it away. Here's a comment from Patty. People also have to stop littering. This is a subject that really bothers me. This is Patty. It is so inexcusable and so preventable. I drive down Broad Street several times a week, and whether or not there are trash cans, there is trash everywhere. And you are nodding your head, Terrell Hagen.
Yeah, because I believe this is a full-on epidemic. We are in a trash epidemic, and we cannot just continue to blame the administration, to continue to blame the streets department. I said on another interview, this is a triangle. You have the municipal, you have the government, and then the other part of that is the residents. We have to stop littering. That's just plain and simple. You have kids that are taught to litter. You have kids that are taught to throw their potato chip bag in the storm drain. And then we wonder why Vine Street Expressway gets flooded during a hurricane. Because there's so much trash. So I definitely agree with Patty on it has to I have a saying. It takes all of us. And all of us is the three points of the triangle. City government, the municipals, and the residents. Let's just stop littering.
But what we found from this report is, you know, 20%, maybe more trash during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's a lot. I guess, again, understandable, but that means people are just tossing things and they're not recycling.
Yeah, the volume of trash tonnage has increased markedly since the beginning of the pandemic, and that isn't declining. And I do know the streets department is hiring more sanitation workers to address that. But then also to agree and follow up with what Terrell said about the technology. I think that's so important to look at better technology to help the worker do their job without getting injured.
Well, I'm to be honest with you, it's sort of shocked that you don't have in Philadelphia, you know, trucks that can automatically or semi-automatically pick up a trash can and toss it in the back of the truck. It has to all be done by hand.
Yeah, I've read an article saying Philadelphia is one of the only last big cities that still manually throws trash. And a while ago, I wrote an op-ed when I went to Austin, Texas, and I got to be with their sanitation crew for 2 days. And I was just like, is this what a clean city feels like? Like, how do we get here? And they switched to semi-automatic trucks in 1990. So from 1990 until now, they've been improving on making the job safer and more a better flow of operation for sanitation workers, which is you can see in their data why their injury rate is so low, why their attendance is so high. So all of that combined, it blows my mind that we're still throwing trash, you know, manually. And I just like to add real fast that Baltimore just spent $10 million for the entire city to have standardized cans. And we just came out with our rat problem. And Baltimore's rat problem, I think, decreased by like 40% within the first couple of months of them standardizing their cans. And I know we have the Philly Can program, and there's the big back and forth about that. But Like I said, no option should be off the table.
And if trash is sitting around, it just, you know, invites rats and vermin and all sorts of things to get in there. Let me read some more comments. One from Greg. I've lived in Philly since the 1990s. I've seen people throw trash out of moving cars and jam trash into sewer grates, as you were saying, Terrell. It's certainly not everyone, but generally speaking, there seems to be more indifference to littering here than in most places. I'll just let that sit out there and we can digest that. Marcy says, I wanted to give my trash collectors a small gift of thanks for doing this important service. However, I'm not home when they arrive and I'm hesitant to leave something for them near the trash. What's the best way to give our local trash collectors a gift? Terrell?
So I have to say this. Legally, they're not allowed to take anything.
Because they're city workers?
Because they're city workers. Right. So legally, you can't like put something in a coffee cup and write a note on it and leave it on top of the can or leave it somewhere. So legally, I can't tell you to, if you want to like get a gift card and like stuff it somewhere with some notes or some instructions, or leave it in your mailbox and then have the sanitation worker read a note saying check my mailbox.
You just got so literally, many ideas.
I know.
legally, I can't say any of this.
Right.
So
I got it.
That's my thought on that.
I hear you. Rebecca, so here's your report looking at on-time pickup. What's the follow-up? What are you going to do next in terms of trash in Philly?
Sure. So I'll keep pushing on it. My office will continue to monitor this to see if there's any change. And I think that having the data increasing the amount of information that the public knows empowers the public, and we have to keep pushing on this. So I'll do whatever I can do on that topic. And in terms of the littering, it is interesting. I mean, other places have done public outreach campaigns like the Don't Mess with Texas. Mm-hmm. That whole campaign was to stop littering.
Wow.
So if we
did it work?
Yes.
It did.
Amazingly well, because it made not littering tough, Texas tough, right? So don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with us. Don't trash your environment, your streets. It worked tremendously well. So I think that we need to look at things a little outside the box.
Can I go on the record and say, if I was going to request anything from the city controller's office, I would love to see how the streets department is spending money towards illegal dumping, towards littering efforts. Who's getting paid to keep the city clean? Because it's not working. And how can we reallocate money to organizations, nonprofits, commercial, you know, business corridors, CDCs that actually do the work, and see if we can funnel money there? So I'm just going to go on record and saying that. And
well, you're the city controller. You have your marching orders, right?
I hear the request. Yeah, I definitely do.
And I did fill it out on your thing.
Okay.
I did fill it out.
Okay.
Let me read some more comments. This one from Joan. She says, I'm a clean block captain and will sweep up all the trash and dirt in the streets. And after the next trash truck pickup, there is trash all over again. Mm. The increase in apartments and rental units has made this much worse. And the absence of street trash cans compounds it even more. I believe 75% of the trash in the street wasn't dropped there. It literally flew there.
It sounds like she needs to contact Glitter and see if her neighbors or the business corridors would sponsor a cleaner. We're seeing real results through the Glitter app.
What is the Glitter app?
So Morgan Berman and I got together. Well, Morgan's been working on Glitter for like 2 years now. Had an RFP, wouldn't get executed by the streets commissioner. But literally, Glitter is paying people on a subscription-based service to clean blocks and residents' neighborhoods once a week. So once a week, you'll have somebody in a Glitter vest sweeping up and down your block, starting with the storm drain, and cleaning for $200 every 4 weeks. And what we have seen is some blocks have started off with having 5 bags. Now they're down to 2 bags of litter, because what we're talking about is behavioral change. You see someone out there cleaning your block every week, you tend to litter less. Because then our cleaners are actually interfacing with the neighborhood. Like, hey, right. I'm your cleaner. I'm this, I'm that. You know, 900 North whatever has a subscription and they're sponsoring you, and so now you're having that human side, which we often miss in this industry of like, there's somebody actually cleaning our block once a week. Let's not litter as much.
Well, and that's part of the stool, right? The three-legged stool. So you've got the city government, you've got people doing it themselves.
Right.
So it requires what, everybody to pitch in, I guess.
If everybody chose zero litter, I have a campaign that says zero litter by 2025. And I believe that if all three points of the triangle chose yes to zero litter, we could probably do it before then, because we have the resources. We have 1.7 million people in the city. Mm-hmm. If all 1.7 million people decided not to litter, if we decided to get more trash cans in resident neighborhoods, if city government and the municipals decided to invest in technology and trucks and PPE, and I mean, it literally, we could see an overhaul. Just as fast as I got 28,000 followers in a year, we could clean the city.
Mm-hmm. And I like the word use of the word literally. You know?
Literally, I like that. Yes,
we can play and kind of play with that. We can play with that. Let me read a couple of more comments. One from John. What on earth is happening with our plastic, glass, and metal recycling? Is it truly being recycled? Did you look at that at all, Rebecca?
That wasn't the focus of this report. That is a very good question, because what we've seen anecdotally more and more is recycling getting dumped into the trash trucks. Right. And there has been a change in the economics of recycling, right, from being something that made money to something that the city has to pay for.
It actually costs money.
Right.
To recycle.
But I think that is another area of concern and on my office's short list for future, looking at it for the future, because it is concerning and there's no communication around it, I would say. So.
And you just raise your hand to Ralph.
That's like,
I'm calling on you.
That is like my other point. When is the last time Streets Department sent something home, or the administration from the mayor's office just sent information home about recycling, about composting? Here are some resources. Like, the only way I find out things about what's going on when it comes to trash is Twitter. I see what the Streets Department tweeted this morning, whether there's going to, or I have to go to a council person's Instagram to see if there's going to be a trash delay. So that's another issue of just being transparent in the communication of, this is what's going on with the Streets Department. This is what we're doing. This is what happened. Here's some resources and here's some how to's. How can you better put out your trash? How can you recycle? Here's a list of people that are composting. Here's just all of those things. I'm pretty sure people want to know, just don't know where to get the information from.
So information and education. Just a quick comment here, because we're almost out of time. Someone says, engage the kids. Start where they're young. Mm. You're working on a book for kids.
Well, yeah, good.
I don't know if that's a friend of yours.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. But I literally just wrote a children's book called I'm Cool Too. I have like 5 days left on my Kickstarter. But the children's book actually teaches children why sanitation workers are essential to the community and why we have to stop littering now. Because if, I have three kids, 10, 9, and 5. My five-year-old, you think I care about littering? Like, she yells at cars. She yells at random people. Like, do you know who my dad is? You cannot litter. But if everyone had a five-year-old like that, parents wouldn't litter. So, and then again, we go back to the behavioral change. We have this problem right now. Let's not let the next generation inherit it. Let's shift their behavior. Let's shift their mindset around littering now. And it's a fun book. It's literally about how my kids told me my job was corny. They didn't want me to come pick them up from school because I smelled like the truck. And it's just fun.
Yeah. But it's cool.
It's cool, right? And it teaches them at an early age why they are responsible and why adults have to be responsible.
Well, we have to leave it there. And thank you so much. Talking about trash with the two of you, I really enjoyed it. Mm. Terrell Hagler, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We've had our eye on you for some time, so we're happy to have you in the studio, also known as Yafave Trash Man. I should add, he was Billy Penn's 2021 Most Valuable Philadelphian. Don't feel bad about that, Rebecca Reinhart. And she's Philadelphia City Controller.
Great to be on. Thanks.
Nice to have you with us. Absolutely. Great. And Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. Radio Times produced by Debbie Builder and Paige Murray Bessler. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen, and we just couldn't resist this. We had to close thing out with I Love Trash, Oscar the Grouch's signature song. Let's give it a listen.
Okay, listen to this. Everyone on Sesame Street is always talking about love. Yuck. But now it's time for me to tell you what Oscar the Grouch loves. The thing that Grouches love best of all. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love.